Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. Our God is so good. He is so amazing. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. I trust that you are doing well, you and your family, you and your loved ones. I trust that you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Wherever you are, here around the United States, continental United States, or anywhere around the world where you are, I trust that you are enjoying the presence of God. You are, glory to God. The year is young, and there's just so much of an unleashing of the presence, the blessings, the power of God on all of our lives. I know that for as many of His children as are making themselves available to Him, the Lord is looking to do us good in this season. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that God has a plan to do you good. I hope you believe it. I hope you are expectant. I hope you are looking for the fulfillment of the promises of God in every area of your life. The Lord is looking to do you good. Hallelujah. So wherever you are tonight, thank you for joining us. Whatever platform you are joining us on, thank you for being with us. Glory to God. I'm so excited. Hallelujah. I'm ready to dive right into our Bible study tonight. There's a lot of good stuff that I want to get to, but it's going to be short. Amen. It is going to be short. The Lord is helping us. I know I say that a lot. It's going to be short. Then it's a bit longer than I plan, but I think tonight it's really going to be short. So hallelujah. Believe God with me. Amen. It's going to be short. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be exactly what the Lord wants us to focus on. And it's going to be an unveiling of His heart to us, like He has been doing since this year started. Glory to God. Glory to God. This love revolution. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful to you tonight. God, where we give you the glory and we give you the praise, we give you the honor, the adoration for everything that you're doing in all of our lives. Lord, for your mighty and outstretched arms over us. God, for how you continue to love on us, how you continue to be gracious to us, to be kind, to be merciful to us, even when we don't deserve it. Lord, even when we don't deserve it, we never qualified for it anyways. It was out of the depth of your love that you came out, like the psalmist said, and you came and took our feet. You saved us, you redeemed us, you took our feet off from the miry clay and you planted them strongly on the rock to stay. Father, we thank you. We thank you for every good that you've done in our lives and every good that is still ahead of us. Hallelujah. We're beneficiaries of the love and the mercies of God. We're beneficiaries of your kindness, of your goodness. And Father, we can never get enough of it. So we thank you tonight. And I pray, Lord, for every one of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, that through this Bible study that you bless them, that you give them illumination, great grace, open their eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. Lord, loosen my tongue so I can speak your will, your word, that which you counsel and that which you desire. I thank you for it, Father. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you so much again. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us on whatever platform you are joining us. This is the day that the Lord has made. You are here by destiny. You are here by purpose. You are here by covenant. The Lord ordained for you to be here with us tonight. Glory to God. And I'm so excited. Life is a precious gift. Life is a precious gift. And the life that we have, the life that we enjoy, is because of the goodness of our Father. You remember one of the scriptures we closed out with last week? That really wasn't where I was planning to start from, but let's go there because maybe that's, I'm sensing that's probably a good place to start tonight. In John chapter 10, this one of the scriptures we closed out with last week, where the Lord Jesus Christ was describing himself as the good shepherd who gave his life, or who came to give his life for the benefit and for the blessing of the sheep. Glory to God. Let's read from verse 10. Our popular scripture in verse 10, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it how? More abundantly. The amplified version of that scripture reads, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came to give us life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came to make our lives so blessed. Glory to God. He came to make our lives full of his life. An abundant life that is precious, overflowing with the goodness of God. What a blessing. All of that is because of the goodness of our Father. That's why Jesus did this. It's all because of the goodness and the loving heart of our Father. He's our shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ continued right here in this scripture, in John chapter 10, in verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, hallelujah. He said in verse 14, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, but them I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, no man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us life. He laid down his own life so that we could receive the abundant life of God. That's love. That's love. That's the highest level of sacrifice. That's the highest level of love. Glory to God. There's no love that is as great as that. We're going to read further about that in John 15 later on tonight. Hopefully, if we get there tonight. There's no love that is higher than that. If one of the scriptures we're going to read in Romans chapter 5, and the Bible says we were sinners and God commended his love towards us. And then he said, I think that's verse, that may be verse 7 or something, or verse 5, I'm not sure. Then he said in one of the verses that even for a righteous person, would you find someone who is willing to die? How much less for sinners like us? And yet, That's how God commended his love towards us. That's how God poured out his love and demonstrated his love towards us. We were sinners. We were walking contrary to his ways. And he opened up his heart and he loved us. Oh, beloved, how glorious is this love? How glorious is this love? No wonder when you have a full revelation of the love of God, you are just secure. When you have the revelation of the love of God for you, you become secure. When you lay hold on the revelation of the love of God for you, you become extremely secure. Not in yourself, not in your abilities, not in what you have or who you know, but in the love of God. In the love of God. You become so secure, no evil can touch you. No wrong, no one can do you wrong. Hallelujah. You are like the apple of God's eyes. The good shepherd. You are secure in the security that the good shepherd has provided for you. No wonder. Let's go there now in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 in the Amplified version of the Bible. This is where I thought we were going to start from tonight. No wonder John, the apostle, describes it as an incredible quality of love. He says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given. I'm reading this from the Amplified. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted as the children of God, and so we are. The reason that the world does not know or recognize or acknowledge us is that it does not know or recognize or acknowledge him. What an incredible quality of love our Father has bestowed, he has poured out upon us. It's incredible, incredible love. Incredible love. Can you say that with me tonight, wherever you are? Can you say with me, I am so loved of my Father? Say that one more time. I am so loved of my Father. Say one last time. I'm so loved of my Father. Let that sink in. Let that be a revelation to you. And it will be. It will be. Because there's a reason the Lord has us here in this season. Oh my goodness. How I love to teach on a lot of the powerful things in the Word of God, the power of faith, the Word of God, breakthroughs and supernatural divine interventions and glorious things, divine healing and hallelujah, success, glory to God. So many of those are awesome. Spiritual authority and all those amazing things. It's wonderful. But this is a higher place. To operate in the love of God, to operate in the security of the love of God, is an unspeakable privilege and a place of operation in life that is just beyond what the mind can conceive. The Lord has us here. And the Lord said to me, tell my people how much I love them. It's a love revolution. That revolution began with our Father, but we are going to continue it. We're going to lay hold of him, and we're going to we're going to continue it. Why do we call it a revolution? One of the definitions of the word revolution, revolution is the fundamental change in the way of thinking about or visualizing about something. It's a paradigm shift. A revolution is a paradigm shift. The love of God, our understanding, our approach, our practice, our receiving, our walking in the realms of the love of God requires a paradigm shift. It requires a paradigm shift. There are so many things that are shifting about our lives in this season. This is our year of supernatural shift. But one of the greatest origins, one of the greatest precursors of any kind of shift in the life of a believer is a clear understanding, a clear appreciation, a deeper revelation of the love of God for us. It is so amazing. It's almost, when you find an understanding of how the love of God works, it's almost like you enter into a treasure trove and you suddenly become a wealthy person. The love of God is so all-encompassing. The love of God is so all-empowering. The love of God is so all-enriching. Glory to God. And I guarantee you, majority of believers have no idea. They know so little. They know so little about the love, the power of the love of God. One precious believer, someone, a dear friend, had reconnected us earlier this year. We had all gone to college together, obviously, 30-something years, 40 years ago, whenever that was, 30-something years ago, in the 80s. And this person has been so blessed, precious, precious person, so blessed, lives in a different country, and so blessed, but came under massive attacks of the enemy. Has worked with the Lord and through all these years and experienced the goodness of God, and but came under such massive attacks of the enemy that she started to despair for life. She didn't want to live anymore. And out of desperation, this, our mutual friend, who we all were in college together 30 however many years ago, decided she was just so threatened by what she heard her saying all the time. She started to despair for life. She did not want to be here. She started to talk about it a lot. And that precious sister started to feel very concerned. So many different ministers had ministered to this person, but nothing was really happening. She had done her best. Nothing was really happening. And she decided she was going to ask me and plead with me to reach out to her. Please minister to her. And I remember, and one of the first experiences that I had with that precious soul this year, when I started, we just started talking, She's in a different country. And I started laying things down. And one of the first things she said that stood out so strongly to me, said, I just find it hard and difficult to believe that God still loves me. Oh, how something exploded in my spirit. Something just exploded in my spirit. Oh, I wanted to bust through the phone line, and I wished I could have just got into where that person was physically and found a way to immerse her in this revelation of the love of God. When a believer gets to that place, you know they've been through so much. And all around the body of Christ, there's so many believers who find it difficult to believe that God loves them. That's one group of believers. Then there's another group of believers. They don't find it difficult to believe that God loves them. They just have never really elevated in their revelation or understanding of the love of God for them. So Satan has held them bound. They understand faith. They understand the word of God. They understand the promises. They understand the covenant. They understand spiritual authority. They understand supernatural breakthrough. They understand miracles, healings, and all of those things. But Satan still has been able to keep a lid on them. Why? Because they have not been able to elevate in their understanding of the love of God. Their understanding and revelation of the love of God for them. Oh, how our Father loves us. Oh, I pray tonight and every night and every Bible study and every session. Oh God, I pray that with every study, with every lesson, with every discussion, there would be a greater dimension of the revelation that each and every one of us has about the love of our Father for us. It is the greatest security that exists. It is the greatest security that exists. Do you know why, in spite of everything that Joseph was exposed to? Do you know why Satan could never snuff out his dream, could never snuff out his life? That young man, from a very early age, was secure in the love of his father. His father even went and made him a coat of many colors. He made him a coat of many colors, which his jealous brothers took away from him, right? And they took it to their father to show, oh, David, our brother has been killed. The animals have, look at blood, look at this, da, 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 da. But Joseph never let go of the coat of many colors that his father gave him. When they threw him in the well, in the pit, he never let go. They took away the coat, but he held on to the coat of many colors. That coat of many colors symbolized the love of his father for him. Even in the pit, he could not drown. Even in the pit, they could not take away his dream. When he got to Potiphar's house, they had taken away his coat of many colors, but he never let go of the coat of many colors. He held on to the coat of many colors. That coat of many colors symbolized the love of his father for him. He was secure in that love. He just believed. He just believed. Like our 2026 confession says somewhere, adversity will expire and I will recover. Adversity will. Why? Because God loves me. Because God loves me. That assurance comes from an understanding, from a revelation. Oh, hallelujah. From a knowledge that God loves me. adversity will expire and I will recover. No matter, so that precious soul, that precious dear beloved sister, oh, my heart so just so went out to her, and everything she had been through, so such turbulence, such adversity, such tribulation, such harassment of Satan, and someone who was so blessed and who was so well-to-do and who was so esteemed, who had everything going for them, suddenly were reduced to nothing and they did not want to leave anymore. She said to me several times in that first meeting, she hasn't said it since then, I've held a few meetings, a few ministry meetings, word-based meetings. Glory to God. And I'm so excited to see the work that the Lord is doing in her life. And if you are joining us tonight, if you're online, I want you to know I believe so much in the power of the love of God that I know that the Lord is going to translate you. He's going to take you out of that Lodibar. He's going to take you out of that pit, out of that prison. He's going to take you out of that place of encampment, that place of slavery, enslavement. I don't know if that's the right English word, but that place where you felt so beaten down and so deprived, and so the Lord is, because of his love for you, not because of anything you have done, not because of anything any of us has done, but because of his love for you. If somebody's listening to me tonight who is in a similar situation, just find it difficult to believe that this God loves them. I want you to know it's one of the reasons the Lord has us doing these Bible studies, this series of teachings in this season, is because of you. He sent a message from heaven. You know, he's from the beginning of times, he's always sent messages from heaven to tell humanity how much he loves us. He's always done that right through the ages. He sent his prophet. He sent his servant. He sent his beloved people. He sent from his patriarchs, his matriarchs. He said how much he loves us, how much he's not going to let us go. He's done that throughout the ages. Until Jesus came and made that ultimate sacrifice and paid that price for us. Until Jesus came and paid that price. And after Jesus paid that price and went back to heaven, God still constantly sends his messengers. That's why we're having, this is why we are studying about the love of God tonight. In this season, God is sending his messengers, his servants, to you, to me, to tell us how much he loves us. We're precious to him. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He loves you with a love that can never die. He loves you with a love that can never fade. A love that can never diminish. A love that can never decrease in quality or in quantity. A love that can never be overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The love of God, the love of God provides a security for you and for me. Every covenant that was ever made in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, were based on the love of God. Every promise God has ever made in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, are based on the love of God. Every word that God has ever sent to the earth in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, are based on the love of God. The love of God is all surpassing, is way beyond a parent's love, is way beyond a father's love. When I talk about Jacob, Joseph and his father, Jacob's coat of many colors that he gave to him. Our father's love, our heavenly father's love, is way beyond that. But think about it. That love symbolized by the coat of many colors, gave Joseph a security as he walked through the corridors and the adversities of life. He never let go of that coat. He never let go of that coat of many colors. They took it away. They took away the coat in real life, but in his heart, he never let go of the coat of many colors. I can imagine him everywhere he's going, telling himself, my father loves me. My father loves me. And my father is in covenant with God. My father is in covenant with God because of my grandfather, because of my great grandfather. I know my father loves me. And because my father loves me, I know that the covenant that my great grandfather has with God is covering me, is walking with me, is keeping me. No matter how long this goes on for, this adversity will expire and I will recover and I will come into a place of laughter. As a matter of fact, my father's name was Laughter. Hallelujah. He was named Laughter because after so many years of crying, after so many years of weeping, God's promise was finally fulfilled in the life of his father, and he was born, and he and my great grandmother, they named him Laughter. They named him Laughter. My grandfather was named Laughter. Hallelujah. After so many years of adversity, so many years of waiting, so many years of seeming like it would never happen, because of the reality, because of the substance of the love of God that was sworn in an oath by a covenant that was made with Abraham, my great grandfather, Isaac was born, and laughter finally showed up in this family. I remember that, and this coat of many colors symbolizes the love of my father for me. And this coat of many colors assures me that no matter what I go through, I will come out. Everything will turn out all right. Everything will work out fine, just fine. Hallelujah. Glory. How we having so much fun. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just the reality of the love of God is oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's the reality of the love of God. How he loves us. Oh, how our God loves us. How our God loves us. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your hand and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. This is the most powerful. This is the most powerful revelation any believer can receive. Everything hangs. Remember what Jesus said to that lawyer, the Sadducee, who came to ask him in Matthew, I think Matthew chapter 22. Remember what Jesus said to him in verse 40? Remember what Jesus said to him? The man came and asked, you know, what's the great command? What's the greatest commandment? And the Lord answered him. But at the end, and we'll read it. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. I just need to refer. I need to reference the last thing Jesus said in there. After he told him the greatest commandments, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your, And then the second one he said, and it's namely the same, you love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Lord said something in verse 40. He said, on this, I think it's the Message translations, the mass translation that says, on these two pegs, oh hallelujah, glory to God, on these two pegs hang all the prophets and all the commandments. That's Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40. But the King James says, and I'm going to come back to this later. I'm just way ahead of this, but that's good too, because I know I'm going to close very soon, and it's just been more of a freestyle. I haven't taught most of my scriptures, You know, I just sense a cloud of love. I sense a rainbow. Hallelujah. I sense the warm embrace of our Father, telling us how much He loves us, telling us how much He cares about us. I feel that tonight. And I think if that's all we accomplish in this short service, that's good too. To impart that, the reality of that love, no matter where you are tonight, no matter what you're going through in your life tonight, to impart the reality of our Father's love, to have to receive that impartation, you know, like when the father of that prodigal son embraced him when he went back home. Can you picture that? Can you picture that deep embrace between this loving father and his lost son that has just been found? Can you picture that deep embrace? That embrace was almost an embrace saying, I'm never going to let you get lost again. I'm never going to let you out. I'm never going to let you out of my will again. I'm never going to see you walk outside of the glories that have been prepared for you in this household. It was such a warm embrace. And can you feel that son receiving all of that love from his father, all of his pain and all of his trouble and everything he had been through in the pig's pen, suffering in the brothels, suffering on the streets, trying to find a rhythm for life, which he never could find. But can you see him? Can you envision him in this moment as he's in the warm embrace of his father? Can you see him receiving that love and a new beginning and the assurance of the hope that love provides? How glorious is the love of the love of God. How glorious is the love of the Father. Receive that love tonight. Receive it, saints, wherever you are. Receive it. For most believers, that love, the revelation of that love, the realization, the understanding of that love is at the cerebral. It's somewhere here. It's just mental. It's what the Bible calls mental assent. Do you know God loves you? Yes, God loves me. Yes, I know God loves you. It's like the Bible says, you know, if somebody say, I have faith. Everybody has faith. Bible says even Satan believes that there's a God. Satan has a measure of faith. Because for most people, faith is just mental assent. Like, yeah, I believe God has power. I know God can do a lot of things, you know. But faith is a spirit. The Hebrew, the Greek word is pistis, is living faith. it's not dormant. It's not just mental assent. It's not just, oh yes. No. Faith is quickening. Faith is living. My friends, you can't have faith. You can't have faith and sit still. Faith is empowering. Glory to God. Faith is empowering. But love, woo! Bible says faith works by love. Faith is paralyzed. It's nothing. It's empty without love. As powerful as faith is, without a revelation of the love of God. Not just mental assent, Not just, yeah, I know God loves me. I know. No, that one won't carry you. That one won't carry you through the pit. It won't carry you. That one will not carry you through. It won't carry you through the prison. It won't carry you through Potiphar's house. I know God loves me. I know. No. It has to be a revelation. It has to be a deep, deep revelation. Oh, I know that my Father loves me. Father loves me. That's why the Lord is sending us these teachings. And tonight hasn't been much of a teaching. Tonight has been a lot of just impartation. There's a spirit of impartation. It's going out. I don't know who's receiving it, but I can tell. It's just the love of God, the warm embrace of the Father to so many of his children who have felt broken, who have felt pressured, who have felt desperate, who have felt almost hopeless. The warm embrace of our loving Heavenly Father, reassuring us tonight that he loves us and all will be well. All will be well with us. Oh my goodness. I had ways that I planned to go tonight, but I don't even know that I can. I don't even know that I... But let's take one more scripture. Let's take at least one more. Yeah. And then we'll come back and do a lot more next week by God's grace. But this is just the way... This is the way this has gone tonight. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want us to read from verse 5. That's the last one I'm going to do tonight. Sorry, it's going to be shorter than usual, but that's really where I feel like we should be tonight. Romans chapter 5, we're going to go from verse 5. Where should I read this from now? One of those verses, verse 8, I want to read from a couple of translations. So let's read first from verse 5, and I'll go in between the King James and the Amplified, right? But when I get to verse 8... I'm going to read that from, if you will, I might just read the whole thing all the way between King James and the Amplified. And then I come back to verse 8 and I want to just explain, just highlight one particular aspect of verse 8 and then close out from there tonight. Close out at that point tonight. Romans, let's do it together. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. And let's read from verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. Hope does not make ashamed. We have a hope that will never fail. We have a hope that guarantees our eternal security. Hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. Notice that even hope, just the hope of a better future, the hope of the realization of the promises of God in our lives, the hope that we will arrive at our destination, the hope that we will live and not die, the hope that we'll enjoy all the promises that our Father has made to us, that hope will not make us ashamed. That hope will not fail. But the reason the hope will not fail, the Bible is telling us right here in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the reason that hope will not fail, the reason it will not make ashamed, is because the love of God, that hope hangs on the love of God. Yeah, that hope hangs on the love of God. I know I was all over the place. Yeah, I was taking you to Matthew 22, And I was trying to show you that in the message, Matthew 22, verse 40, somehow I got carried away from there. I can still read that. I won't expatiate too much on it. But this is what the Lord said after he explained to that lawyer who came and asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, yeah, the greatest commandment. Love the Lord. And then in verse 40, he said, on these two commandments, the greatest one and the second greatest one, hang on the law, all the law and the prophets. This is what he said in verse 40. And these two commandments, Matthew 22, verse 40, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Message translation reads this way. These two commands are pegs. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hang from them. Everything. These two commands are pegs. Everything. And these are my notes here. Listen to this. All the promises, all the blessings, all the covenants in the Old and in the New Testament hang on these two pegs of the love of God. Let's go back quick. Okay, I want to close. Let's go back quick to Romans chapter 5. Hope does not make ashamed. The reason hope does not make ashamed, the reason we have security, we have assurance of what has been promised us, is because the love of God, the Bible says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. Verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, the Amplified, when we were yet in weakness, when we didn't know what we were doing, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The Amplified says, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out. I keep that word, keep those two words in your spirit, poured out, poured out, poured out, poured out. Those two words are very powerful. They've been poured out. The love of God has been poured out. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Verse 6, while we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time, Christ died on behalf of the ungodly. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 7. For scarcely, the King James used this, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. You understand what he's saying, right? Like that, Jesus died for us. He gave his life for us when we were worth nothing. And then the writer of Romans, Paul, is saying, in real life, hardly could you find someone, anyone in their right mind, giving up their life for a good person. I mean, think about who's closest to you. Your spouse, your children, your loved ones, family, parents. Maybe some significant other. Whoever, think about the closest people to you. It is, no matter how much you love them, it is extremely hard to give your life up for them. You could do it, but the Bible says scarcely. You know, Jesus said, "Greatest, there's no greater love than that a man should lay down his life for his friends," right? In John chapter 15. Yeah. So even people close to us love. Yeah, we will lay down our lives, we'll sacrifice our life. But even that is when rubber hits the road sometimes. That's a tough one. Even though we love them. How much less someone that you don't even care whether they are around or not. it doesn't matter to you because they are just nothing. They mean nothing to you. They don't, you know, and maybe some of them you even prefer that they are not even here. Just scarcely for a righteous person, we want to look at the way the Amplified puts this. He says, now listen to this. He says, now it is an extraordinary thing. What's my time? 50 minutes? No, I gotta stop. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life even for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. But look at verse 8. We'll pick this up next week. I don't go through those translations. It's these powerful translations. But remember that verse where it says, God poured out his love. You see that word again, poured out, here in verse 8. It says in verse 8 in the King James, well, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love towards us. In the Amplified, it says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, he died for us. The word commended is from an original word. The original of that word means to prove something by demonstrating it practically. And the way God did this was he poured out his love. He didn't measure it in a little cup. He didn't measure his cup, his love, in a little cup. Smaller than this. He didn't measure his love for us in a... He said, like, okay, that's enough for you. Take this. You should be happy with that. He didn't do that. He poured out. It was an endless ocean, his love. He poured out his love, whatever it takes. He poured out. That's how he demonstrated. So the Bible says he commended his love toward us. He poured it out. He proved it. He showed it. He demonstrated it by pouring it out limitlessly. There's no boundary to that. There's no boundary to it. That's why, you know that scripture, if you were with us last week, that to know the height, to know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of God, to know the love of God that passes knowledge, that is limitless, is boundless, is all surpassing. That's what God gave us. There's no limit to the love of God. There's no last nerve. There's no, God loves you. God loved you. He loved you with an everlasting love. And no matter what you and I do, no matter what we do, no matter how we respond to that love, God will never stop loving us. God will respect even our rejection of his love. He will love us all the way to hell if we choose to go there. God forbid. That's how much he loves us. God will never stop loving us. If we're on the brink of death, God forbid, and we suddenly realize how we are despised his love and how we have not taken advantage of what he did, what Jesus did on the cross for us. Hallelujah. And on the brink, at right there in the gateway into the corridor of death, if we turn to our God like the thief, you remember, like the thief on the cross who said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember at that point, remember me. At that point, he took the love of God, he embraced it, he received it. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. God loves us. God loves us so much. Father, we thank you so much for how much you love us. We give you praise for your everlasting love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with your word. As we dismiss tonight, bless all of my brothers and sisters. Bless them in all that they do, them and their families. Let the revelation of your love, Lord, let it continue to be imparted to them. Let it continue to be imparted to them. I thank you, Father. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, saints. Think about it. I thought I'd be done long before now. I almost prophesied this from the beginning. I can't believe it. Hardly touched my material for tonight, and here we are, still 55 minutes. But God is good. I trust that you were blessed. Well, we're out of time. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. God loves you. Good night.